perpetrated by the US forces inside Iraq, or whether inside Afghanistan or Pakistan. This is a strong message of Ashura to unite all Muslims in the whole Muslim world. Let's stress on the Muslim world beginning. We can see a good example of Turkish Recep Tayyip Erdogan inside Istanbul, which is a born Sunni, but he is an open-minded and he believes in Ashura. That's why he did come today to the 10th of Muharram today and share his grief with the Turkish Alawites or those people in Turkey that they believe in Imam Hussein and they follow the path of the family of Prophet Muhammad. May peace be upon them all together.
Right, and just referring there to what happened on Ashura, as Mr. Maher Sadoum has been speaking for us, and also our guest Saadun Mutadabi speaking for us, telling us of some aspects of that story. We are, in the meantime, seeing live pictures from across the Muslim world. These pictures from Beirut, hundreds of thousands, millions of people taking to the streets across the Muslim world, here in Iran, in various cities across the country, taking part in processions, various processions mourning the martyrdom of Imam Hussein. Now, when Imam Hussein was martyred, after he was martyred, Ben Ziyad's forces, the governor of Kufa at the time, as I told you before, took those who were alive hostage. One of those hostages was Hazrat Zainab, Imam Hussein's sister, who's very well known for delivering strong and poignant speeches about the Ashura events and the brutality, oppressive nature of the Umayyad rulers. And according to historians, Hazrat Zainab, the sister of Imam Hussein, played a significant role in keeping Hussein's story alive even to this day. And Mr. Mutalibi, a lot of speakers, intellectuals nowadays say what Zainab did was teach us how to keep this message alive. Let's speak about the role she had in keeping Ashura alive, Mr. Mutalibi.
Important to understand the personality of that lady. We have to remember her brother, her other brother, the children were all murdered. And they were taken prisoners of war. Now this is the family of the Prophet. Vulgar soldiers from Yazid's army, they were handling them, pushing them, sometimes abusing them by their ugliness of their soul. Anyway, so this lady and her family, they were taken prisoners and they reached Yazid's palace in Damascus. Now, what would any prisoner of war say? Would plead for his life, would try to be, succumb to the utter power of the ruthlessness of Yazid and his criminals. But on the contrary to that, she stood and she delivered one of the best speeches in history that a woman has ever delivered. And she told him that who he was and who she was and who Imam Hussein was and how that this event will light the history and will remain to be a beacon of light through the darkness of politics and greed and life. She then moved to Damascus, close to Damascus, where her holy body is buried now, in Zainabia, and sent others to Cairo, to Egypt, to spread the word there. And again, Sayyidina al-Hussein place in Egypt was created, where the as is said that the head of Imam Hussein was buried in Cairo. So she moved the family, the close family, those family who are supposed to be stay at home and not venture in the street, not venture in the presence of other men, because they are the family of the Prophet. But on the contrary, that they went, all of them, headed by her, to places where men were there, and she delivered the best speeches. She challenged all the authority, And it is very interesting that we sometimes become afraid of, you know, tyranny, afraid of the state, afraid of authority. But this family, those people were never afraid, not for one second. And I think that's a very, very important lesson, a psychological lesson for us all, that if we believe in something, we must follow the example of Imam Hussein and his sister. And the old members of the family, because they were tremendously courageous. And what she did in spreading the word of her family and her brother, I think history will only remember what she had said and remember the way that she said in the presence of the biggest tyranny of all, Yazid, la'natullahi alayh.
All right, you were hearing there Mr. Saad al-Mutalibi speaking about the role of Zainab, Imam Hussein's sister. Mr. Salum also joining us in Beirut. Mr. Salum, referring to the role of Zainab and speaking generally, the role of women, a lot of religious scholars say that the event in of Ashura is a symbol of Islam in itself. And speaking of the role that women have besides men in promoting Islam and in having a role in Islam, Mr. Salum, because the whole Ashura event is, of course, according to Imam Hussein's words, a reform of the Islamic Ummah, and it just shows that women have a role in it, don't they?
Yes, for sure. And the women have played an enormous role in supporting the message of Imam Hussein. Whether it is our Lady Zainab, may peace be upon her, and all other sisters that they were backing Imam Hussein at that period of the time. Let us not forget also our Prophet Muhammad's wife, Khadija, may peace be upon her too. She has supported financially, spiritually, and in belief, in commitment to the Prophet's path and the concept of Islam. And if you relate to the standards or the situation in Lebanon now, or during the invasion of Israel in 1982, women have played an enormous role by boiling some oil in attacking certain tanks inside the southern parts of Lebanon when we were invaded by Israelis inside the southern parts of Lebanon. Now, women can play a great and pivotal role here by supporting the path, not only the men, because Islam has given the rights for the women, but some women, unfortunately, I'm saying this, they do not know even their own rights and privileges in Islam. They have to be considerably enough in order to read and ask and be supported by all men around. We have been questioned sometimes by the Westerners that ladies are not equal to men inside under Islam. This is wrong. And that's a wrong message because they have not understood well the Islam, Islamic constitution, the Quran, and the path of Prophet Muhammad, and the way of the peaceful measure that were perpetrated by Prophet Muhammad or his own sons, such as Imam Ali, may peace be upon him, his son-in-law, and his great-grandsons, such as Imam Hassan and Imam Hussein. So ladies, it is my honor to say this, and I'm privileged to say this, have supported the path of men, our true men in Islam, our leaders, our spiritual leaders, or even our politicians right now in the whole world.
Right, let's also in Beirut go to our correspondent now after hearing those remarks by Mr. Salim about the role of women. Mariam Saleh is in Beirut. Mariam, thanks for joining us. Tell us of what's happening in Beirut and what's the mood like there.
Yes, now as you can see behind me, there are thousands of Lebanese Shiites coming to this very point in order to commemorate Ashura, to commemorate the martyrdom of Imam Hussein. Now this was the last line of a procession that took place around an hour ago after ceremonies, which are called Tazia ceremonies, mourning ceremonies, where people would listen to the story of the martyrdom of Imam Hussein along with his family and friends in Karbala. and they believe, of course, that through the crying and the stories of the sadness of the story, that they would be purified emotionally and religiously. And after that, there is a procession. This is something that takes place every single year, a long parade. People walk for several kilometers until they reach this very point where they wait for the highlight of Ashura Day, which is the speech of the head of Hezbollah, Sayyid Hassan Nasrallah. Now, I want to remind you that Lebanon commemorates, also Ashura has been commemorating actually for the last 10 days. Every year, you have the first 10 days of the holy month, which is the first month in every Hijri year of the month of Muharram. The first 10 days are commemorated every single night. All the Shiites in Lebanon go to certain to the mosques and other gatherings where they attend ceremonies and commemorations of what happened in Karbala. And at the 10th day, this is the peak of the commemoration of Ashura. During the last 10 days, there were several speeches for head of Hezbollah, Sayyid Hassan Nasrallah. Most of them focused on the essence of Ashura, on Karbala, and on the struggle of Imam Hussein and its deep meanings and profound meanings, of course. But today, and last night actually, Sayyid Nasrallah focused a little more on what's happening and also linked it with the issue of Karbala, with Ashura. Today, his speech is expected to be also somehow very profound. Now, let's just remember a little bit the importance of Ashura for the Shiites in Lebanon. One of our guests previously was saying how the women in South Lebanon during the Israeli occupation played a vital role. The issue of Ashura for the Shiites here is not an issue merely of martyrdom. This is a common fallacy that we have perhaps in the West, even for some people here in Lebanon, that Ashura would equal martyrdom, it would equal death, and how the Shiites are always going, struggling, and have very little care whether their family members die, and so on and so forth. But the main point here, what all theologians insist on, and the Lebanese here, whether it was a young child or an elder person, say that the main focus or the essence of Ashura is the philosophy of life and not that of death. Martyrdom is point of victory, is a something that the people go through in order to reach victory and create life, therefore. This is one point that the people over here, has been in the Shiites here, especially those who support, strongly support Hezbollah, whether they were in Hezbollah members or not just merely supporters, even members of the Amal movement. Now you have a lot of Sunnis and Druze also, and even Christians who are strong supporters of Hezbollah, and they believe and they understand the link between Ashura and Hezbollah. Now, Hezbollah, of course, has always insisted that any victory that has happened in the past, whether it was the July War in 2006, how they believe they were able to at least halt one of, or actually the strongest army in the region, that they consider it extends from Ashura, that they would stand against injustice in any form it is, if they were subject to it. Now, another issue is how Ashura is an extension of Islam itself. What also the focus today of Sayyid Hassan Nasrallah has focused on it very much is how Ashura extends or actually seeks to go back to the essence of Islam itself and the teachings of Prophet Muhammad. But what Imam Hussein did was not merely politically motivated, rather it was a way to save Islam, to save the teachings of Prophet Muhammad. Now, there is a common Western fallacy here. At that time, when Imam Hussein was fighting or facing what he called the injustice of the ruler at that time, who was Yazid. Yazid at that time was known to have put put aside all the teachings of Islam, including the five pivotal prayers, which is something extremely important and very fundamental for all Muslims. He had put that aside. The issue of alcohol drinking, that was something that he was pleased or he used to boast about, and that was something very hurtful for Imam al-Hussein. Another issue is killing people, even in Mecca, in a place where it's most sacred for all the Muslims. That was another issue. So obviously the leader of that time had considered himself the leader of the Muslims, was not at all following any of the teachings of Prophet Muhammad, and Imam Hussein saw a devotion in order to take care of these elements that Prophet Muhammad fought for at the beginning, and then later on decided that he would, of course, face all this. Now, the common fallacy is that Yazid is known by Western teachings now, or Western philosophy or understanding, that he has been some kind of a tradition or rituals that the Shiites or the Muslims go through. It is actually something that all of mankind has understood, and it's clear how we have many Western thinkers, Western philosophers who have spoken about Imam Hussein. Unfortunately, that is not highlighted very much in Western philosophy or Western teachings. You hardly hear in any articles, or very few references, talk about how Gandhi spoke that his main victory against his main victory in India was based on the teachings of Imam Hussein, how Imam Hussein taught him to be oppressed and therefore be victorious. That is something that we don't hear much of. Unfortunately, some people have considered the martyrdom of Imam Hussein as some kind of a revolt against the law at that time, or against the leader of that time. Now, it's true that Imam Hussein was considered an outlaw by Yazid, but Yazid was the one who was not following the true law, who was considered himself the leader of Muslims and was not following Islam. That is quite ironic, and therefore Imam Hussein was, of course, an outlaw in that sense. Now, when we come to here to Lebanon, for the last several years, ever since Hezbollah was founded, it was considered by some people as outlaws, as a resistance itself. It was considered an outlaw resistance because they had their weapons and so on, but they said that no one would be able to fight the injustice like a small resistance would. Of course, this resistance has grown throughout the years. Today, there is another form of injustice that Hezbollah believes they will be subject to. There is, of course, the issue of a special tribunal for Lebanon, an international tribunal, UN and United States-backed tribunal, which says it wants to seek the truth and wants to seek justice in the assassination of former Lebanese Prime Minister Rafiq Hariri. There have been several reports, leaks. This is a reminder that many of the reports have said that most probably there will be an indictment against members of Hezbollah. Hezbollah has, of course, faced this matter with technical and judicial arguments. They have shown that everything, all the evidence or the documents that will be based on this indictment are actually invalid. And just last night, the head of Hezbollah said, Hassan Nasrallah explained in detail how one of the former deputy investigator in the tribunal had even sold sensitive and very critical documents from the tribunal. That is a signal of corruption. So therefore, they believe that if that is the basis on which Hezbollah will be indicted, then therefore that would be unjust, and therefore Hezbollah will be facing injustice. And I think we'll hear some strong words today from head of Hezbollah that they will be facing this injustice.
Right. Mariam Saleh speaking to us there live in Beirut ahead of a speech going to be delivered by Hezbollah Secretary General Sayyid Hassan Nasrallah. And as she was speaking, we had pictures for you of Istanbul as well, and we saw the Turkish Prime Minister Recep Tayyip Erdogan taking part in processions there. Of course, a speech is expected from him as well on this important day. Mr. Salum, now let's go back to our guest, Professor Maher Salum in Beirut. One of the things that our correspondent was referring to there is the Western viewpoint of Ashura. She said that some call Yazid the leader of the Sunni branch, which is not true. Tell us about this Western perspective what they're saying and how they're interpreting this in terms of how it is.
Well, according to them, this sounds like a revolutionary march every year when we remember Imam Hussein in the 10th of Muharram. Now, according to the American analysts, they know personally that Imam Hussein is the true spiritual leaders for all Muslim human beings inside this globe. And I have read books actually in the United States when I was studying there, that Imam Hussein is not only the spiritual but the motivational leader of all Muslims around the world. Now, those people who read in the Westerns or in the Western Hemisphere, let's say, in the United States, in Canada, in Western Europe, they are a bit familiar with what Imam Hussein is and what kind of a symbol he is. Now, according to me, as a Lebanese-American, I'm saying, I cannot say maybe anything against Imam Hussein, God forbid, but we need to organize ourselves more, I believe, and we need to send a strong message to the Western Hemisphere and the Western civilizations that any corruption perpetrated by them or analyzed or activated by their own intelligence agencies around the world shall be revoluted against, and a coup d'etat will take place in order to send them and let them know the message really true, that justice always prevails. There has to be a line for justice always under God's, constitution, under God's, the blue skies, and everything that we believe in, it should be applied in this globe, actually. Whether we are Christians, true followers of Jesus Christ, or followers of Moses. Now, if we compare the famous characters or the famous leaders such as Jesus and Moses, I was reading yesterday an article, Imam Hussein, may peace be upon him, is a close character to those great leaders in our globe, in the history of our globe. Now, Imam Hussein, the strong message that he has delivered so far is that always stand up for what you believe in. Never give up. Always believe in yourself and in your commitment to your own religion, and fight corruption whenever you can, and try to reform the mistakes that your government is doing, your own maybe leaders are doing. Try to manage and organize our channels or our basic concepts of life by true communication and elevating this communication with no fear. There is no fear but only from God, to us as Muslims. And we shall prevail, hopefully, if we are united and we stand at one point, all in one belief, in one statement that can be sent to the whole peoples of the earth, that Islam is a strong message, Islam is a just and fair religion, and there shall be a reason behind Islam.
Maher Salum speaking to us there from Beirut, and you are seeing pictures now from various countries, pictures there, the one you're seeing here, Beirut, and earlier Istanbul, where the Prime Minister is expected to give a speech, and various pictures also of cities across Iran taking part in those ceremonies. The peak of the morning ceremonies now, the 10th of the Muslim month of Muharram, called Ashura, Ashura literally meaning the 10th in Arabic, the martyrdom anniversary of Imam Hussein. Now let's go back to Baghdad and Mr. Mutalibi. Mr. Mutalibi, Mariam Sola, our correspondent, was saying that one concept that is being promoted to some extent in the Western world, in where there are not that much Muslims as there are in the Muslim world, is that the message of Ashura is a message of death, and equaling the message of an oppressed imam, whereas Mr. Maher Salum was telling us Imam Hussein is a symbol of the message of reform and the message of Islam as a whole, as a single body. First of all, how do you think this viewpoint has been developed in the West, and what should we do to protect the true message of Ashura?
Well, Yeah, that's a very good point, actually, you've made and your colleague have made. It's unfortunately sometimes is the message that the wrong message that we send to the world, and our misinterpretation of events that the Westerners see it as a statement of facts. We need to do some extra work on the message, on the subject that Imam Hussein is nothing to do about death, actually about the creation of a freedom, of a free life. And that is part, I think, of our, should be dealt by our intellectuals and our writers. Because the true story of Imam Hussein is nothing to do with death, actually. It is a political struggle between right and wrong. And right by, even that it was murdered, but actually rightness has succeeded. Because the message and the story is today told after 13 centuries. Yes, I agree to that point. I agree also to there is a difference between the way we look at Sunnis. We call it the at-tasannun al-Umari, or the tasannun that is under the school of Umar, and the tasannun under the school of Muawiyah, the Amawi. The tasannun al-Umari, the way that Sunnis in the world behave, it is the true way of Islam, and we have no problem with that. As you've seen, Mr. Tayyip Rajab or Erdogan is present in Istanbul, and he's taking part of the most important holy event of the Shiite calendar. The Muawiyah Tasannun, Tasannun al-Amawi, that is the problem with that where the problem was created, because it's under the ideals of corruption. You corrupt the intellectuals by buying intellectuals, false Islam, just having the slogans of Islam and none of the content of Islam, and using brutality and against anybody who resists Muawiyah and al-Amawi sect. So that is where we look at differentiate between the two types of Sunnis. And that's where we see Tayyip Rajab Erdogan as a Sunni member, but taking or participating positively in reunifying Islam, Islamic schools, because after all, we do believe in the same God and the same Prophet. So that is an important message we need to send to the international community, that Imam Hussein is not about death, is actually about the freedom of choice. It's about freedom, about the struggle, the eternal struggle between evil and good, and the victorious rightness that have prevailed in the true history of time. And today we are talking about Imam Hussein, and nobody's talking about Yazid or Muawiyah, only by cursing them. And I don't think there is a country in the world that remembers them with a good word.
And just as Mr. Motalibi was speaking for us, we did see the picture of Hezbollah Secretary General Sayed Hassan Nasrallah starting his speech in Beirut. Of course, we'll be bringing you live parts of that speech. But just for now, Mr. Motalibi, what you just referred to, we had an earlier quote that I said of Imam Hussein that I quoted. He said he was worried about what would become of Islam under Yazid's rule. And just speaking of that Islam as a whole, because a lot of the Western media, when you search for Ashura in those Western media and you see what they've been saying, a lot of them start referring to the Shia-Sunni divide, and rather than the message that are quoted in Imam Hussein's own words, that this is his struggle to reform Islam and that he's worried about Islam as a whole under Yazid's rule. So this is saying that this is not about Shia-Sunnis, but about Islam. Is that right?
Exactly. This is about Islam, but we have to remember there is another struggle going on, like the struggle of Imam Hussein and Yazid. There is a struggle between this region in general, let's call it the Middle Eastern region, and with the presence of Israel and the supportive government of America to Israel. So there is another struggle is going on, and they will take every opportunity to create a problem. We all know there is an issue with the nuclear issue of Iran, and America is leading an unjust attack against Iran, political attack. But they have supporters. They have supporters in the region. We know what Saudi Arabia's view on the subject. We know what other states in the region's view regarding Iran. Now, it's very important. I had one sometime ago, a meeting at some quarters in the world, and talking to the Americans, and I told them that it is very dangerous when you use the Middle East to turn one country against another. Because when you speak to Saudi Arabia and ask them, officially that is the Americans, ask the Saudi Arabians to stand against Iran, the only weapon they will use is sectarianism. They will use Sunnis and Shia. They will present Iran as a country that wants to spread Shiaism in the world. That the danger of Shiaism from Iran and Iraq is more than the danger of Israel that is occupying Arab land and occupying human life and possessing an arsenal of nuclear weapons, and nobody can.
Mr. Mutalibi, I'm afraid